If you appreciate 1960s interior design elements, Ketchikan Medical Center's surgery rooms are for you. The cramped spaces are tiled in vintage green, and while there have been some upgrades in the past half century, it still looks like the set for a movie based in a bygone era.
So, I just want to give you an idea of 1963.
Kim Schwartz is the surgical services manager, and she's showing a small group of visitors a vintage item left over from the original construction. She opens up a little door in the wall and says,
"Does anybody know what that is?"
No.
What it is suction. And what you would do is you turn on water. Water would go down through here. You'd have a hose on here, and that creates a vacuum.
So, but you don't use that.
No,
we don't use this anymore. But this is exactly, this is the kind of technology that there was in 1963 so that you could have suction.
That's Penny Peterson. She heads up the Ketchikan Medical Center Foundation, which is leading the effort to upgrade the community's primary healthcare facility. Peterson led a tour of the hospital to show its structural limitations, particularly in the surgery area, but she and Schwartz are quick to point out that it provides quality care despite those shortcomings.
The average infection rate across the nation is
about 3%.
3%.
In the operating room.
In the operating room areas. And we were at
zero.
While that is impressive, the facility needs are notable, and Ketchikan isn't alone. Karen Perdue is CEO of the Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association.
As I travel around the state and look at hospitals in Alaska, I would say that the lower southeast is an area where the three hospitals that I can think of, Ketchikan, Wrangell, and Petersburg, are among the most aging of facilities that we see in the state.
Ketchikan's hospital is owned by the city and operated by Peace Health, a Catholic nonprofit medical provider that also manages facilities in Oregon and Washington. Southeast Alaska has a long history of communities working in partnership with nonprofit healthcare groups. Purdue says those communities have been careful about keeping up with routine maintenance. However,
at some point you just can't remodel enough to keep up with what the patients need. So that's what we're seeing in Southeast Alaska.
The city of Ketchikan already has about $15 million from the state for its project, and voters will decide in October whether to take on $43 million in bonds, the amount still needed for the renovation's first phase. That's the largest, most expensive phase and would add about 72,000 square feet to the hospital and the Peace Health-run clinics. There have been some minor renovations since the mid-60s, including badly needed electric upgrades so fuses don't blow during surgeries, but the basic structure has remained the same. That's not the case a little farther north. Juneau's Bartlett Regional Hospital was rebuilt in the 1960s and expanded in the 1980s.
The hospital is extremely well equipped.
Jim Strader is Bartlett's Director of Community Relations and Marketing.
We have a state-of-the-art, brand-new critical care unit, which is not only state-of-the-art itself, but also connected. And we have telemedicine capabilities for additional specialist consultation, that sort of thing. The building is fairly new. It's modern. It's very well equipped.
Strader says any limitations at Bartlett are related more to services that lack sufficient demand, such as cardiology, rather than facilities that need upgrades. In Wrangell, though, it's a different story. Officials there want a whole new facility. Wrangell's hospital was built in 1968, and while there have been additions since then, an engineer determined that remodeling and expanding it would cost more than just building a new one. Purdue says upgraded facilities are important not just for patient care, but also for attracting and maintaining quality staff.
As our healthcare facilities age, providers, especially surgeons and people who are doing work in hospitals, are looking at that to say whether or not that's a place they want to invest in their intellectual capital in those communities.
So this room, this is when we're going to do, say, a lap chole in a room.
Back in Ketchikan's surgery suite, Schwartz has set up a room for a mock operation to demonstrate how little space there is. She explains that to maintain a sterile field, anyone moving around the patient has to stay a minimum distance and not touch anything draped in blue. And pretty much everything is draped in blue. She challenges Bette Jakubik, one of the tour participants, to go get an item from the other side of the room.
You have to be a foot with arms up.
How it works.
Jakubik weaves around equipment, knocks something over, and ducks under several cords. They like to call it surgical yoga.
And then you have to, like, scoot underneath here?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
So you're trying to get there kind of fast, because you need it now.
Got it.
Good job. Now you got to come back again without touching any of the blue drapes, and you got to give it to your person that's scrubbing.
There were three on the tour that day, making five in the room. Schwartz says there usually are six, plus the patient and perhaps a family member. Peterson tells the story of an eager dad who used the back door rather than wade through all the stuff.
The father wanted to see his newborn baby, but he couldn't get past everything, so he had to go through that door into the other operating room and come around in this door so he could see this.
Floor space isn't the only problem. The redesign also calls for higher ceilings, which means the equipment will be mounted on a hanging spider-like contraption. All of the renovation plans are geared toward improved care, a better experience for patients, and the ability to keep up with rapidly changing technology. The direct effect on the public, they say, will be that more patients will receive treatment close to home. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.